Hello and welcome to the Inside College Hockey Podcast. I'm Joe Bladyshevsky, joined by Nate Ewell, Mike Eidelbus, Jess Myers, the usual cast of characters. We've recovered from our peach schnapps hangover and are ready to talk college hockey with you again. Welcome aboard, gentlemen.
How could you forget our names? We're the same people every week, and you like always pause. It's like, who's on with us?
I'm joined by Henry Kissinger. Oh, wait, he's not here. There's an old saying in the communications industry, Bus.
Dan Gallivan. And
if you can't anchor, you produce. And if you can't produce, you write. And that's why I'm a writer. Not a host or a producer.
Very nice.
Minutes,
yet it is writing that makes any program good. So
yeah.
That's where
so
we stand
else,
on that.
There we go.
Who are you guys again? Who is this?
Jim Carr.
All right.
Anyway. That's a good segue. You can use that one at any time.
I have in the past, and I will continue to do so.
All right.
As I desire. More impressive weekend, Notre Dame or Maine? Jess Myers.
Boy, that's a tough one. I think I would probably give the nod to Maine just because I, and this is me trying to cover my butt, but I picked North Dakota to win the WCHA title, so anybody who can go into their building and win twice has got to be the best team in the country. And boy, the polls prove that I'm right this week, don't they?
Wait a second. That's revisionist history, and we've been having a big discussion about that.
You can major in that at the University of North Dakota.
You can major. Yeah, wow. Yeah.
No, I saw Maine a couple weeks ago when they played at the Xcel Energy Center. I was impressed then. They've got a great goaltender in Ben Bishop, who sounds like he was very good. They sound like they bumped the Sioux around a little bit and put up an impressive number of goals. So I thought that was a great win for their program. Now, in the big picture, tip your cap to Notre Dame. I mean, a program that has made one NCAA tournament appearance and has never won an NCAA game to knock off the number one team in the country. Good for them.
But that's the third time in 4 years that they've knocked off the number one team in the country. Of course, that team's been Boston College all three times, but still, you look at it from that angle and you think that, okay, it's nothing new for Notre Dame, but beating Boston College, I think that the manner in which they did it is surprising. They just absolutely drilled them. You know, in the past, it's been a one-goal game or actually one of them was, I think, a 1-0 game where, you know, usually it's been their goaltender who stands on his head and just withstands a BC barrage and they end up escaping with the win. We've kind of seen Maine do this kind of thing before where they've gone into an opponent's building and come away with two wins. And it's, certainly they're great wins. And Maine is playing unbelievably well at this point in time. But does it surprise me? Maybe not as much as Notre Dame going to BC and just absolutely drilling Boston College. I mean, that when I saw the score on Friday night, I did a double take, no question about it. So I think just from that respect, maybe not that they won, but the manner in which they did it is makes that result maybe a little bit more significant, or maybe not.
I guess I would say that, Mike. I guess I would agree with you, but I would say the same thing for me. Going into North Dakota and winning like they did. I mean, I could have foreseen ahead of time that Ben Bishop would steal a game at the Ralph and would be able to shut down North Dakota one night but not two. But the fact that Maine was able to put up the number of goals that they did, I mean, 9 goals in 2 games, is really what surprised me. And neither game was particularly close. So, also surprised me. Just Maine came in and had the run of the place and established right away that they were the alpha dog.
I think what impresses me about this Maine team so far is that here in October they resemble the Maine teams that we expect to see in March and April. And, you saw that right from the start against Minnesota. It's an efficient team. It's not one that has any stars except maybe in goal. Certainly you can make a case for Michel Levier, but there's a lot of balance on that team and a lot of guys that fill roles and just do their jobs.
North Dakota may be categorized as a team that we expected a little more from, and they haven't met that level. You know, the win at Wisconsin was significant. Any other teams that maybe have been a little, expectations were a little higher for than the team has performed this year?
Week to week, maybe Vermont this week. On a 7-day basis, I thought Vermont was an awful lot better a week ago at this time than I do right now. But certainly, as you can see with the number of new teams that bounce in and out of our rankings, there's a lot of those teams out there right now.
Yeah, no question. I think that, I don't know how much stock we can put in. You know, obviously Maine played well this weekend, and I don't think anybody will dispute that. But, I mean, North Dakota's got some issues going on. I mean, Lamoureux is, he's new as far as being the go-to guy in goal. And, you know, he came in with about a 500 record. And I think, you know, his other numbers were pretty good as far as, a save percentage for his career. But, you know, this is a guy that's learning how to be the starter night in and night out. They lost, obviously, a lot of talent with, guys like Zajac and Stafford leaving early, and for as much talent as they've got on that team, it still is a team in transition, and it's going to take them. As we're seeing right now, it's going to take them a little while for them to kind of figure out, who does what and who plays what role and who's filling whose shoes on that team. And, I think we're seeing a little bit of that going on right with them right now. That said, I think outside of goaltending, you could match them up with just about anybody in the country, and they match up pretty well. But goaltending, I thought was their big question mark, and I guess maybe it appears that it may still be a question mark at this point in time.
Just, I'm gonna give you this opportunity to tee off on my Huskies.
Oh boy.
No,
Stop.
Come on.
I'm laying a batting practice fastball in there for you, man.
Okay, Bravo Burritos in St. Cloud, first of all, makes the best burrito in the state of Minnesota. So I've never
that's a ringing endorsement.
So what does that have to do with the picture of Mark Hartigan on your dartboard?
Well, I've just always hated the Columbus Blue Jackets. There's a team, I guess I will say, and granted, I'm not writing anybody off on the third week of October, because I think it's maybe a little early, although Maine has wrapped up the WCHA title, according to us. I think St. Cloud, I expected them to be a little more dominant than they have been thus far. I'm a little surprised that Mankato was able to go into their building and get a win last weekend. And Bobby Gephardt, I mean, we talked about his stats in our power rankings this week, has struggled a little bit. With that said, I think there's a ton of potential to that team. So they maybe haven't put it together like we thought they would just yet. But again, it's October, 23rd, 24th. We're not writing anybody off here.
But you got to
expect Bobby Gephardt to play better moving forward here. And
absolutely.
I mean, as you say, it's too early, but that's a team. I might be worried if maybe they weren't scoring, or if maybe their defense looked terrible. But if Bobby Gephardt's a little shaky, I got to expect that to turn around.
One thing that was brought up in our ESPN.com chats on Thursday afternoons, those are at 2:30 every week for those of you listening if you'd like to participate. And since we're in the ESPN family.
2:30 Eastern, we should make
2:30 in the East, whatever.
not everyone. Time. But not everyone lives on the East Coast. Just the record. But anyway.
2:30 Eastern. Thank you, Jess. I've never lived in a different time zone.
Really?
Do they say, like, on the TV listings in the Midwest that the Cubs game, for example, starts at 7 Eastern, 6 Central? So they still say
yes,
Central, even though they're in the Central?
Yeah.
I believe they do.
That must suck that they have to identify themselves and where they live every time they read it.
But you know what? Here's what's worse. I lived in the Mountain time zone for how many ever years I lived in Denver, and you just get skipped. They don't say anything. It's like nine Eastern, eight Central, and whatever Pacific. It's like, you know, it's like everything between, like, you know, the middle of Nebraska to Utah doesn't matter. It's just like, what are we, you know? Apparently, we were on some sort of wacky time that we were, I don't know, using sundials or something. But yeah, you just get skipped.
Well, what do they need? I mean, they need to speak to Mormons and geysers, right?
Well, hey, I'm just saying that the Mountain Time Zone, and this is just way off topic, is the best sports viewing time zone in the country. Fantastic for, you know, Monday Night Football, when it was on ABC, would come on at 7 o'clock in the Mountain Time Zone. It's perfect. Better than 9 here in the Eastern Time Zone. That's awful. Or that was awful. You know, World Series games would start at 6, and it's a very underrated time zone for sports viewing. But we'll just keep that.
Yeah, 11 a.m. start to the NFL Sunday.
Yeah, 2 o'clock for the late game. Can't beat that with a stick.
Beauty. Okay. Well, yeah.
Games in Anchorage would start at 9 p.m., which is manageable. I mean, that works.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as late scores.
Well, I will send out a podcast stick salute to the Mountain Time Zone on behalf of InsideCollegeHockey.com.
I'm telling
you. Now, how do we get there? We talked about our ESPN chat, and the question was that we don't have a lot of marquee early season matchups. There are a few exceptions for cross-regional games and big games between ranked teams, but there's a lot more of, you know, Ferris State Union out there than Maine, North Dakota. What about the scheduling theory that strength of schedule isn't so important and you just want to increase your total number of wins?
I think.
Who's getting arrested?
That's just me.
Oh.
Don't worry.
Nate, you cannot talk on your cell phone in the District of Columbia while you are driving.
My theory here is that the whole math process is so far a mess. Like, I can't understand it. Coaches can't understand it. I've tried to explain it to coaches, but I'm probably not the right guy because I can't understand it. Coaches,
and you went to Princeton.
I know. We don't know anything about the NCAA tournament.
Oh, wow.
Got a good football,
it's a football
club this
school.
Year,
football school.
It's a lax school. Settle down. We
their lax program is about as significant as BU's hockey program right now.
Oh.
That used to be good.
More on that later.
I think what happens a little bit, and this is just a theory, and obviously series like Wisconsin, BC blow this out of the water, but I think coaches say, you know what? If I just win my games, I'm going to get in. If you're playing in Hockey East or you're playing in the WCHA, you're going to get a strength of schedule through the teams you play in your conference. You're not going to get, you know, you don't necessarily need to play those tough teams out of conference because you're going to get plenty of those. So I'm going to go play my games. I'm going to win. I'm going to schedule Bemidji State at home twice. And that's not to pick on Maine because they're obviously another exception. But that's just kind of what I'm seeing out there.
Well, I think that there's two schools of thought out there. There's the, you know, the school of thought that, and Maine's, you know, a great example. Denver's another great example that, you know, they'd like to get out and play these different teams from around the country to, you know, I think that they think that it'll help them down the road in March and April, and obviously, you know, those two programs, as far as their record of success in the NCAA tournament over the past few years, as far as advancing to Frozen Fours and, in Denver's case, winning national championships, you know, I think that helps them in the long run. Getting out, and, you know, Denver did go to Maine last year for two games, and Denver's made the trip out to play BC and teams like that, and I, you know, I think that's a good measuring stick for a program to see how you stack up nationally and how you stack up outside your little conference. Then, you know, the other end of the spectrum is Michigan, which, you know, I think Yost Arena could be on fire and that team wouldn't leave the building. I mean, When's the last time Michigan played, you know, college hockey showcase? That's about the only time that Michigan will leave for a non-conference game. And, you know, does
they're going to reciprocate that Quinnipiac visit any minute now.
Oh, yeah. I can just think they're on that bus to Hamden, Connecticut right now.
Well, they do go to Buffalo to play Niagara at the Blue Cross Arena, or the Marine Midland HSBC, whatever it's called.
And they went to New Hampshire a couple of years ago to play in a regional.
Yeah.
One of the great hockey quotes of all time.
that was mighty generous of them to make that trip. They couldn't get it rescheduled to Yost, so they. But I mean, you know, again, we're getting on a tangent, but does that hurt them in the long run? I don't know. I mean,
maybe we shouldn't speculate and start asking coaches. I'm going to do that.
You get on that.
Read the ECHC Hockey League notebook. Because, you know, we've seen different theories right here in the ECHC Hockey League this year. You've got Rensselaer, who started with Boston University, Denver, and Denver. And you've got Clarkson, who started with Niagara, RIT, Providence, UMass, and Lake Superior State. You know, so those kinds of things. Colgate played a very strong field in Miami at the Icebreaker Invitational, and has since played Niagara and Bentley and upcoming Canisius on Tuesday as we record this, Monday night Eastern, Jess. And
what is it like Saturday afternoon where he is? He's only an hour behind. Monday.
I'm just trying to be clear.
Just tell me who wins the NFL games. I'm excited.
The Vikings.
I lose in my fantasy league. That's all I know.
Yeah. Tigers just clinched the series.
Way to go, Tigers.
Hey, since we're on this topic of non-conference games, I was a little interested, and maybe you guys who know the other leagues a little better than me can weigh in on this, but was anyone else surprised at Minnesota-Ohio State that the Buckeyes put up as little fight as they seemed to in that series? I guess I expected a little bit more.
Any
thoughts there?
No, Ohio State's not good. Ohio State is not good.
And
Minnesota invented hockey. WCHA is the greatest.
No, it was invented. Holden, if you'd read my notebook.
Minnesota is very good.
Minnesota is an excellent team.
Talent on that team. I'm more impressed at, you know, just from seeing them. Saw them play against Maine, saw them play against Ohio State, and huge difference. It's just tremendous to see some of those guys put it together and, you know, getting a lot of production out of that freshman class, which obviously we know has a ton of talent.
And they're only going to get better, obviously.
Scary.
It's very scary as the year goes on. I still wonder about their goaltending, too. But, you know, that brings up which goaltending situation would you rather have, Minnesota or North Dakota's?
North Dakota's.
Really?
Yep.
I disagree.
I take Minnesota's. You got two guys with experience. You know, they may not.
I think they have a bigger upside, too. They can get better, and they can get hot.
Yep.
What's crazy, 19 years old right now? 20?
I think so. 20,
you know?
Probably.
Yeah.
You have better defensive defensemen in front of you in North Dakota.
That's
absolutely
not the goaltending situation, though.
I'm just saying.
I know.
Yeah, if you're looking at just the goaltending position, I think Minnesota is in a better position. If you're looking at the complete package with experienced defense, I think North Dakota has an edge.
But you don't need defense at Minnesota because they're going to score like 9 goals a night. Right?
We need Clarkson and Minnesota to play a game of shinny right now. That will be fun to watch. It will be real fun to watch. Clarkson has 5 guys. I just mentioned that they haven't played a very strong out-of-conference schedule. They've got 5 guys averaging a point a game or better. Steve Zaleski already has 6 goals. They had 12 guys score in their first 4 games. And if goaltending was their question mark, which it probably was, you know, they're gonna take that theory that we'll score 5 every night and take our chances. Things will get a lot tighter once conference play begins in the ECHC Hockey League, and we'll see if the systems and familiarity of league coaches can slow Clarkson down. But
it
doesn't look like it early on this season. Their only loss was to Lake Superior State 5-1 on Friday night, and All five of Lake Superior State's goals were power play goals.
Is it true that the ECAC Hockey League changed its name to the Black and Blue Division?
No, it is not true.
Oh, okay.
I don't get the reference. They heard the North Division was taken.
Okay. All right. They've put the kibosh on tackle hockey, then. That's what you're telling me.
And there were 23 minor penalties called in Cornell's exhibition game, apparently. So maybe they are continuing to tackle or re-tackling. But I don't expect that from Cornell, and I'll be checking them out Thursday night against that guy, Bob Morris from Pittsburgh.
Good dude.
Good dude. Solid dude. I'm totally rushing to his frat next year.
Ask him to bring one of those sandwiches with the French fries in it. That kind of intrigues me. If I ever go to Pittsburgh, that's what I got to try.
You can get that.
Christina Aguilera is from Pittsburgh.
She's not. I thought she was from, like, Florida.
She's from Pittsburgh, man.
All right, whatever. I don't deny it.
She's a friend of Inch, whether she knows it or not.
Yeah, whatever. Where's this thing going? You're running the show.
That's a good idea. Put Gladdy in charge.
Oh.
How about the flip side? Who's better than you thought? Who's better than you thought they'd be? And
Rensselaer.
Again, it's October 23rd, 24th or so. You know, so it's early.
Harvard.
They play their
still
first,
undefeated.
They play their first game in 6 weeks.
Maine's a lot better than I thought they'd be.
You know, we do this, and I think I've said this just about every year, but we do this every year. We always, you know, we put Maine at about 8 or 9, and then by the end of the season, they're about 4 or 3. I guess they just thrive on that type of, you know, being up, tucked all the way up there and in the hinterlands, and you know, just kind of,
well, you know what,
sneak
they,
into the
they
season.
They never turn up at the top of our recruiting rankings. They never have those big name guys. But by the time they graduate, they've got names.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
And they do tend to graduate, or at least they tend to stick around for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. You know, another team that, you know, just got started this weekend was New Hampshire, and they, you know, I know CC Colorado College is down this year, but. You know, New Hampshire rallied from 2 goals down in the first and ended up winning game one of the series. Got out with a 1-goal win, and then they spanked Colorado 7-2 the following night. And you know, they're kind of like Maine in the same way. You know they lose guys. They kind of build their own stars from within, and then those guys go on and a new group of kids takes over and assumes the mantle and. That certainly happened this weekend.
We'll see what Maine has, you know, really has once the Hockey East games start. New Hampshire looks pretty good. Boston College looks pretty good. Boston University has had some good results.
Have they looked pretty
good? I haven't seen them play. What do you want me to say?
Let's just get to the point. Let's just get to our. We're a little irked with Boston U. The Inch staff as a whole. And it's not with the team or...
Don't speak for me.
Well, okay. A couple of
and
us.
Jeff,
are...
I know your fire is burning brightly for Boston University right now.
If they don't do something about that Iruzioni character, I'm done. Okay, what are we talking about?
Gladdy, you wanna run this?
I'm not going to...
Run
the scenario? I'm going to try not to step on your toes because it will be... further commentary will be forthcoming
rehash.
In mic check.
We can rehash. We can rehash in mic check.
Over the last, how long do you think it's been going on that Boston University fans have complained about us slighting them?
Well, I think it started last year when they got on that big run, and you know when we
how did
meet,
that end up?
But when we yeah exactly we'd meet to talk about the power rankings every week. And we just say, yeah, okay, Boston, you won, but they're not that good. I mean, they were winning, but that's all I can say. I mean,
They won some significant trophies last year, other than the Monday Night Hockey Tournament. And I give them credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been to the last seven Frozen Fours, and I've never seen a BU game there.
I agree.
St. Lawrence has played in the Frozen Four since then. Cornell has. Minnesota Duluth has. Colorado College and Ohio State have. You know, if you want to be considered a top-notch program, you've got to play on this biggest stage, and that's the Frozen Four. Not Monday night in front of 15,000 people in a yellow stadium. That nobody's following west of Natick.
Right.
But...
I think that effectively sums up the beef that, you know, BU, we get a lot of, probably North Dakota and BU are the two fan bases that email us the most. North Dakota, I don't know, they're just bitter people, but.
Not to generalize.
They are. How many years have we been doing this, and how many times have we received an email from North Dakota said, you know, you were right on about that? It's always like, you know.
We are artists.
You know, before.
We're artists. We just use a very wide brush.
Before,
I'm disconnecting my email right now.
I just use a roller. You know, the email we got from North Dakota was said, you know, before Minnesota came in and stole all our trees and planted them, you know. No, it's just. They've always got a beef, rightly or wrongly. They've always got a beef. But
well, you know what? Then let's compliment them for being steadfast and loyal in their position.
No, I don't have a problem with them being steadfast and loyal. But I think I think there's a little paranoia creeping in.
Here's what I find interesting about that: you've got two teams that have two great new rinks. You know, Engel said so much has been said about it. It's amazing, and the Gannis is stuff like, you know, is a great place to watch college hockey. You've got, you know, more than a dozen championship banners combined hanging from your ceilings. You've got good fan bases, although I've heard they're kind of potty mouths in Boston at BU, but they're taking care of that this year. What do you guys have so much to complain about? You know, you've got it good. You're on top of the heap. Yeah, okay, BU, you haven't been to a Frozen Four in a few years, but you know. You're what everybody looks up to. You're what they want to be like, you know.
You want to complain.
Relax.
Be a Merrimack fan.
Enjoy the games. Yeah, you could be in Anchorage. You could be in Fairbanks. You could be in, you know, other places. You could be a Bentley fan. And you know, hey, I've never written anything good about Bentley, but then I've never written anything about Bentley. So
if you go to someone's arena and – as an opponent, you are their biggest game. That's a compliment. That's not them hating on you. You know, that's something that you should treasure. You know, Rensselaer sold out that game, and I'm sure that, you know, the new coach and Kirk McDonald's return to the lineup, you know, certainly would have had people, you know, excited to go to Houston Fieldhouse that night. But the fact that it was BU, I think, really kind of locked that down. You know, Cornell fans still cheer, BU sucks. And they haven't been in the league in what, 20 years? You know, that's a compliment.
Exactly.
And maybe we are like BU fans because we are sensitive and they are sensitive. But Dr. Phil will be our guest on the show this Thursday.
Yeah, that's great. But I guess we got an email where somebody called us particular.
Called us a word they cannot say in Gannis Arena.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. They're just venting now.
Some sort of, yeah, out. That's, I think it was less, maybe it was less about our decision. Anyways, we you know, we put BC behind BU this weekend in our power rankings because obviously BC lost to Notre Dame and BU beat two teams it should have beaten in Northeastern and Merrimack. And so we get an email from a BU fan, a female, who calls us... she called us posterior openings, I guess, is the best way to phrase that. But, you know, it's, and that was for putting them ahead of BC. What would, you know, yikes. But anyway, you know, ask eight people that don't live in Hockey Eastland who they thought the better team was, you know, BU or BC, and I think seven would say BC is the better team on paper. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
But they don't play the games on paper.
No, they play them on TV at the Frozen Four.
And they play
and
them
BC play them.
They play them in Worcester too.
Four times in the last 7 years, and they haven't seen BU play in the Frozen Four.
Their website.
Coming full circle.
Can I extend an olive branch to our fans and listeners, readers and listeners that are out there?
About what?
Well, you guys are just ripping on people that are writing us.
But no, it's not. But it's not a rip. I don't think it's a rip. I think it's a. They get the chance to vent their opinions or you know, make their opinions known, and then, you know, now we're saying, okay, yeah, you've got an opinion, but do you really think, you know, looking at it rationally, that Boston University is better than Boston College? I don't think that Boston University is better than Boston College. Boston College is more talented. Boston University might end up with more wins. Did they end up with more wins than BC last year? I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know BC was in Milwaukee and Boston University wasn't. Regardless of whether it happened in the regular season, what happened in the conference postseason.
As an olive branch to the people who really inch, let me say this, Mike. You said, can you look at it rationally?
No.
The word fan, it comes from fanatic. So, in other words, rationality doesn't figure in here. If you're a fan, you don't look at it rationally. You see only what's good in the red and white of BU, and you see only what's bad in the maroon and gold of BC.
Interestingly enough, same
way if you're out here.
Interesting.
You're a North Dakota fan.
But see, but that's the thing, you know. I mean, I like North Dakota. I think North Dakota is a fantastic team, and you know, I think that they're, you know, and I said at the beginning of the year, I think they're one of the two teams, along with BC, that, you know, really is a legitimate. It would be a disappointment if they didn't end up in the Frozen Four. I think that, you know, those two teams right off the bat, BC and North Dakota, if those two teams did not end up in St. Louis, that it would be a disappointing season for them. I think North Dakota is that good. But people, you know, people come on and say that we think they stink. I mean, we're not the ones that lost to Maine. And obviously, there's more things going on. Taves is hurt, and, you know, that plays a role. And, you know, they're replacing a couple pretty good guys that they lost. And, you know, Spearco, we don't even talk about him hardly. And, you know, he'd be the centerpiece on a lot of teams, but we don't hate your team, so I'm going to climb down off the soapbox now.
We have a right to defend our opinions, and they have a right to email. We appreciate the feedback.
We do like it. Yeah, there's no question about it.
Sometimes we don't like the tone.
So you don't have to
take
swear.
Take it easy there.
Chachi.
You know, and interestingly enough, just to make sure this isn't a BCBU war, we'll get both sides involved and take ourselves out of it. We got a compliment on our Hobie Tracker in generally saying it's a nice piece, but then blasting us for including John Curry in a discussion of the best goalies in the country, which he is, one of the best goalies in the country. You know? So, I mean, we heard from BC fans even when they were saying nice things about their team prior to the Notre Dame debacle. So, thank you for writing, but we have opinions too, and we have a website, and you don't.
Well, gee, that settles it.
To bring this to a more...
One of my favorite pieces of movie history is when Adam Sandler says in The Wedding Singer that he has a microphone, and you don't. And you listen to every word he has to say.
I was going to say, to make this a little more optimistic and upbeat, let me just say that, you know, on this topic, I have been accused by some pretty important people in the Houghton Hancock community of being anti-Michigan Tech, And, you know, I've denied those allegations, and I think it's ridiculous. But let me just say a quick shout-out to Michigan Tech. I mean, we've got their goalie pictured on our website right now. And, again, it's early, but those were two big wins they had last week. And looking at their schedule going forward, Tech could have a pretty good record, you know, going into Thanksgiving with the games they've got coming up, playing the way they have been, getting the goaltending they have been. So for a program that's, you know, had several down years in a row and has not done much, you know, on a national scale in a long time, hey, good for them. And if this is for real and if they can turn it around and have a good season, that would be a great story.
Well, we had a very good podcast. That really started to get things going. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to it, our side of the story and some of the things we think that are going on here. All right. It's time to go. Thanks again for listening to Inch Podcast, and keep following InsideCollegeHockey.com for all of your college hockey facts, opinions, and discussion.